Gil was also down on his luck. Fact is, he was barely keeping his head below water. I bellied up to the sandbar. He poured me the usual. Rusty snail, hold a grunion, shaken, not stirred. With a peanut butter and jellyfish sandwich on the side. Heavy on the mako. I slipped him a fin. On porpoise. I was feeling good. I even dropped a sand dollar in the box for Jerry squid. For the halibut. Well, the place was crowded. We were packed in like sardines. They were all there to listen to the big band sounds of Tommy Dorsal. What soul? Tommy was rocking the place with a very popular tuna, Salmon Enchanted Evening, and the stage was surrounded by screaming groupers, probably there to see the bass player. One of them was this cute little yellowtail, and she's giving me the eye. So I figured this is my chance for a little fun. You know, piece of Pisces. But she said things I just couldn't fathom. She was too deep. Seemed to be under a lot of pressure. Boy, could she drink. She drank a lot. I said, what's your sign? She said, Aquarium. I said, great! Let's get tanked.
And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Anakin Skywalker and the rest of his Jedi team have been overrun by the Separatist surprise attack, led by Riff Tamsin, while Prince Lee Char and Ahsoka must evade capture on their own. There will be Shark Week, Clone Wars style! And I really wish I made that joke at some point last week.
I can't believe you didn't make that joke last week.
At least at some point last week. I can't believe I didn't either. We're talking
Although
about...
Although there's definitely a joke coming up here that in this one that I'm wondering... I have it in parentheses, and I'm going to give you the chance to see if you made the joke first.
Okay. Well, we are talking about Gungan Attack this week. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, but you know that.
I don't know.
We just had some really good candy at the last one, and looking forward to our candy for this new one.
I'm eating carrots now. Carrots, yum, yum, yum. But they're like shredded carrots, so they're like chips almost, but they're tiny sticks. Mm. I'm gonna just munch on it like Bugs Bunny. Nom. That's
carrots are divine. You get a dozen for a dime. It's magic. It's a Bugs Bunny song.
Show, there's a Shel Silverstein poem. I think it's in his book Falling Up. Talking about how carrots can, like, help your eyesight, but they think they're doing it wrong, and there's a picture with a boy with carrots in it, like, inside his eyes. Like, he stuck carrots in his eyes, and he's like, I'm doing this wrong.
I worked with a cook who thought it was the funniest... Well, he also thought it was the funniest thing to drink, like, 50 beers in a shift, too. But he also thought it was the funniest thing if he was alone in the kitchen, and there was, you know, it was quiet enough in the bar so you could... hear him, he would start singing very loudly the...
Oh, carrots are divine, you get a dozen for a dime, it's magic. They fry, a song begins, they roast, and I hear violins, it's magic. Why do I kid myself? Other loves that I have are all really few. When in my heart I know the magic is my love for you.
At the top of his lungs, until the boss would go back and yell at him.
Put these off to the side. Eat more of those later. Nom 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 nom. Maybe I'll help my eyesight come back.
I think that guy ended up liking working with me because I knew all the lyrics to the Bugs Bunny Square Dance cartoon.
You know what blew my mind? So my coworker, it's probably, God, she's 22 and I'm 29, so we have 7 years in between us. Actually more like 8, because she's about to turn 22 and I'm about to turn 30. But we have like 7.5, 8 years between us. She had no idea who Michelin J. Frog was.
Yeah, it's
it hurt my soul a lot.
I mean, I'm amazed that people your age know who Michigan J. Frog is, even though
they used to run the old Bugs Bunny cartoons all the time.
See, I didn't know if they were in part of the TV like when we were kids. Cartoons were on Saturday. You got up Saturday morning at the crack of dawn because you woke up like Christmas time, and you went downstairs. And if you got up like before your parents, you turn on the TV real quiet. And from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. would be all the weird religious cartoons like Davy and Goliath and off-brand stuff that just your local TV station had. And then 7 o'clock, boom, Warner Brothers cartoons for at least an hour or two. Just Bugs Bunny, Donald Duck, one after the other. So I don't know, the new kids aren't, you know, they'll discover it, you know. I mean, there's YouTube now and stuff like that. So they're going to discover it because it's like the Beatles. There's no denying how awesome they are. So once you get a look at them, that's it, you know. And then they'll feel like they found something new.
You know, I kind of feel like that's why it's so easy to do a lot of reboots nowadays. Like, for example, there's the DuckTales reboot coming. For one, I'm stupid excited for the DuckTales reboot. It looks so fucking good. It has a stellar cast. It has, like, 4 people from Saturday Night Live. David Tennant is Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah. And DuckTales was, what, 25 years ago?
Something like that. And, like, Lin-Manuel Miranda is doing one of the characters, too. But the thing is, there's a great YouTube series called Kids React To, and they show kids from nowadays, like, new stuff. And they had showed them some of the old DuckTales, and they were like, this is awesome. What is this? I've never seen this before. What is this thing? And so, like, then I kind of realized, like, yeah, kids nowadays, if someone's 8 and there's a show 25 years ago, they've more than likely not seen it. That's why you can get away with, like, rebooting a Ninja Turtles cartoon and stuff
there's
like that.
There's so many new cartoons now for kids that it would be impossible for them to, you know, they don't have to go to the old ones.
Yeah, same thing with like My Little Pony. Like, My Little Pony's been around forever, but you can get away with rebooting. This is like Gen 4. This is the fourth generation of My Little Pony. And
there's
a whole
network devoted to cartoons nowadays, you know, so it's like,
yeah. So I think that's why it's so easy to reboot so many shows. And yeah, all the adults are going to be a bitch about it, like, this is ruining my childhood. But this is also, like, some child's first experience with it. And it allows them, if they like it, they can dive into the old stuff, too. So
I agree.
Well, you know what else we're going to dive into?
Stop.
I'm so excited. There's Jar Jar in this episode.
Yeah.
But is it a good Jar Jar or a bad Jar Jar? We'll have to see.
I'm gonna withhold my feelings till it happens.
Well, you ready to get started?
I'm ready.
All right. Gungan Attack is the 68th episode of Star Wars: The Clone Wars and aired on September 16th, 2011. It was written by Jose Molina and directed by Brian Callen O'Connell. It was the second part of an hour-long season premiere. I don't have a lot of extra information notes for you. Pretty much, Ahmed Best returns to Clone Wars again to voice Jar Jar Binks, as well as Boss Leone. The cool thing about Ahmed Best coming back, though, I think it was forever ago. Jar Jar's very first appearance in Clone Wars, he voiced Jar Jar. And then he didn't voice Jar Jar for the rest of Season 1, Season 2, or Season 3. So this is actually his return since Jar Jar's first appearance in Season 1. So that I thought that was kind of cool thing that they were able to talk him back. As I said in last week's episode, they changed up how they did the episode featurettes for the Gungan Civil War, and it was Dave Filoni to answering fan questions for the three episodes. So I'm going to include that into next week's notes when we wrap up the Mon Cala Civil War. Because I put Gungan Civil War. I meant Mon Cala Civil War. But, the episode featurette will return next week. So that's all I got. It was a shorty. Also, hey shorty, how you doing? Did you enjoy your swim last week?
A little paddle around.
Yeah, are you still wearing your Speedo peanut hugger?
For 3 weeks I have worn.
Oh.
Don't know if it will come off.
Is there like things growing in there now? Are you like Mama Hutt and you're like throwing parasites at people?
Sort of melded together.
With the
silky skin of Yoda's peanuts.
So you don't have like balls anymore. It's just single ball. You're like the Lance Armstrong of Jedi now. I made myself laugh.
No performance enhancing drugs for Yoda.
I made myself laugh. It's funny. I'm sorry. Oh, that was
Yoda
funny.
Likes to ride his bicycle. He likes to ride his bike.
With no seat?
Yoda likes to ride his bicycle. Yoda likes to ride it where he likes.
Okay.
So what is our space platitude for the week? This one I don't like so much.
I like it.
Okay, here we go.
You like it.
Only through fire is a strong sword forged. In bed.
It makes sense for the episode, but not for our embeds.
Yeah. I don't think using fire is going to forge a strong sword in bed.
No. Though I do like
Might
the image
be just the opposite.
I do like the idea of someone like setting their bed on fire and throwing a sword in it and they're like, yay!
Yeah,
they're
that's
like,
not
oh,
what
no,
I was picturing.
Fire.
Yeah, that's not what I was picturing in the metaphorical sense.
What were you picturing?
Well, when you're talking about sex and strong swords and fire, it's not a pretty sight. It's more of a Deadpool sort of scenario.
That's like Freddy Krueger's wet dream right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Freddy Krueger would be like, yes, do it, the ritual is complete.
I just like how they use fire so strongly in this space platitude, and they're on the water planet.
I thought the exact same thing.
If you're going elemental, why not do some water platitudes?
Like, you know, paddling upstream helps build
flow,
strength.
Yeah, you know, you could either fight or with the current or flow with it. Who knows?
They would even be able to get away with a sink or swim. Like, if they were just like, you could either sink or swim in bed, I'd be like, yes, it works, but...
I'm very curious. I'm thinking of more jokes in this one, and I'm very curious to see. I don't read your synopses in advance, so I'm very curious to. I'll make a little ding ding noise if I hear a joke that I'm anticipating.
You know, I have two of them right now. I have to say, I think I put more fish jokes in last week's episode, to be really honest with you.
I have two obvious sort of sources for bad jokes that I just thought of, and I'm going to see if you go to that well.
I don't think I did. I didn't put as many. I continued my thing of Count Dooku liking musicals. I did continue.
We'll see. It's all water over the bridge.
Okay, so
or
anyway,
under the
Act
bridge,
one?
Or around the bridge in this case. Act 1.
All right. To catch you up from last week, the Mon Calamari and the Quarren are fish people. They live on a planet called Mon Cala. Their king got mysteriously assassinated, leaving his guppy of a son, Prince Lee Char, who I keep accidentally called Charlie. So if you hear me called Charlie, I'm talking about Prince Lee Char, to be next in line for the throne.
Sorry, Charlie.
Sorry, Charlie!
Well, he's the chicken of the sea.
Oh, that's so good. Damn.
Yay.
Think of that.
Yay, water stories with fish.
Yay. Oh, man. So, sorry, Charlie. You're supposed to be the king of the sea. No one wants you. Well, the Quarren were like, well, that's dumb. We want a Quarren king and not a Mon Calamari king. So a civil war broke out. Oh, and there's a guy, shark guy, named Riff Tamsin, who last week we started calling Sharkin. So he's going to just be Sharkin. And he's there for Count Dooku, and he likes to bite people and then shake them up like a dog hopped up on cocaine. Oh, and Padme and Anakin and Ahsoka and Kiss Fisto are all there to help fight too.
Have you ever seen a dog hopped up on cocaine? How would you know what that's like?
I don't know. It was the best that I was just thinking of a dog shaking a thing, but then, like, double shaking the thing. It'd be like, arr! But if it was on hopped up on cocaine, it would just be like, arr! So, sadly, there's no Rex posing in swimwear to be found. So, that made me sad. We saw Rex for, like, not even 3 seconds last week. So, I'm still sad. Okay, on to this week. So Sharkin Skypes up Dooku, and Dooku is all like, ooh, did you bring me a nice shiny prince head so I can eat it for dinner and suck out the eyeballs? And Sharkin tells him that the prince and the Jedi escaped into the caves, and Dooku is miffed because his fish dinner got canceled. And he warns Sharkin not to let Prince Charlie become a symbol like an underwater mockingjay or something. The fish blade not on fire because of water. Of course, Sharkin blows off this advice, so you know that's going to eventually be his downfall. And the Quarren leader, Norso Rai, wants to know what to do with the prisoners. And Dooku says it's pretty much just stick them in an internment camp and give them the worst treatment possible. Norso Rai continues to regret all of his life decisions. Back with the Jedi heroes, Kit Fisto desperately tries to get a message of help to Yoda and Wet Blanket Windu. Too bad Wet Blanket forgot to pay the phone bill and the signal cuts out. The Jedi are unsure if reinforcements are coming or not. They decide that if they can get to the surface to see if their ship is there, the very least they can do is try and save the prince and the senator. Oh, and so on Coruscant, the Jedi Council are in a pickle. It will take days to make another clone regiment ready to fight underwater. They have to do the next best thing. They call Jar Jar Binks, which I'm only kind of slightly kidding. They call the Gungans because they're underwater fighters and their planet is like the next door planet over. But yeah, it's a Jar Jar episode, so yay.
Yeah, they pretty much do call Jar Jar.
What do you think of X1?
Not bad. I got a new nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Kit Fishto.
Aww. I don't know. Fishto. Kit Fishto.
Kit Fishto.
Kit Fishto. Fishto. I can see it. You know, yeah, I mean, he is underwater and stuff like that, but he's so cool. And he's all like, look at me, I don't have a shirt on. And I'm like, hey, that makes up for not having Rex. So, whatever. I wonder if they ever, like, animated Anakin or Obi-Wan or any of the men without shirts. Would they animate nipples?
You mean, like, to make a move or just to have them there?
Well, the thing is, oftentimes in cartoons, when they have shirtless male, they don't have nipples. It's like you can't... Are nipples hard to animate? Unless it's like...
I would think they would just be part of, like, a skin that you would put on a wireframe.
Yeah.
Unless you really, you know, really wanted them out there.
Yeah, but, like, they never animate nipples on, like, male shirtless cartoon characters, ever. And I'm always just like, what's up with that? if it was a naked, like, cartoon woman...
I'm gonna have to pay attention from now on.
Yeah. Yeah, because if it was a naked, like, cartoon woman, it'd be, like, the most detailed nipples. Like, you could see the sweat glinted on it. And then you look at the male character, and it's just like, nope, no nipples. Anywhere. So.
I have a question.
What?
Is this the first time...
About nipples?
No, totally okay. Not about nipples at all.
Okay.
Is this the first time we've been underwater in a Naboo city since episode one? Because I can't remember virus if we ever went underwater in Naboo or if we were just on the surface all the time, I can't remember.
I feel like we've been to Naboo underwater once before. But I don't remember exactly where. I think we were there for, like, literally, like, Jar Jar walking through the place. And, actually, maybe not. I don't think we were.
I don't seem to remember it. Because I was, like, looking at this going, like, huh, this is probably the first time somebody's animated. I wonder if they had to go back to, like, some of the stuff from episode one and, like, because the shot of the little, you know, dome, that the underwater dome that they're in, is very similar to a shot in episode one. I wondered if they didn't just, like, lift it, you know, lift the wireframes and stuff right out of the, you know, episode one hard drive memory banks or whatever, you know, archives.
I don't remember either.
I might have to go back and check out that episode again to see, or those episodes. My only real note in this is, remember in the last episode we were talking about how Prince Forhedia is kind of a boring character because he's sort of been done before and he's just sort of like the blank, you know, greenhorn that needs to, you know, assert himself as king and grow a pair.
Yeah.
I think that's because they don't want to put much. It's not as much a focus on him and what happens with his character, but it's more about him being around for all the other characters. I noticed everybody's just sort of firmly but gently walking him through it, you know, as much as they can in the circumstances. You know, Ahsoka gets to use some of her experience of being like, they all have had experience of being like him, and they all recognize the situation he's in. And so it's more about, you know, Akbar and Ahsoka and Anakin just sort of like firmly but gently, like, let's keep this kid alive, but at the same time, let's leather him up a little bit. Yeah,
I can see that. That actually does make a lot more sense because, like, he is kind of like a pale.
He's
the equivalent of like an eggshell painted empty room. Yeah, to steal that joke from Stephen Colbert. Stealing that joke. Maybe it was John Oliver, but still, I mean, like they're all bouncing off things, and he's absorbing it.
Yep. And that's all I really had on this first part.
To answer your question about seeing the Gungan city, I am looking at it on the Wikipedia. You're right. This is the first time we're seeing it in Clone Wars.
Okay.
Yeah, so you are correct on that. So go technology!
I didn't really make the assertion because I wasn't really sure, but I just remember seeing that and going, like, I don't think I've seen this before yet, you know, since episode one.
To kind of touch on what you're doing, it makes more sense now as I say this. It makes my note irrelevant because Lee Char is just kind of repeating what everybody else says, and he's getting to learn to lead, but he's also not making any choices for himself. But that goes back to what you were saying, like, you know, he's learning through everybody else. So, like, I actually like how you worded it much better.
He has people he should listen to around him. They're also aware of, you know, it's not like he has like an evil, you know, an evil influence in his ear, like, you know, a senator or something there that's like, well, you have to do this and this and trying to mislead him. He's got people like solidly on his side, and he recognizes it and is like. And that's part of being a good leader, too, is recognizing, you know, when you have good counsel. And that, you know, I mean, for him to make a rash decision would be really foolhardy because he just doesn't know what's going on.
Wait, that comes in like another arc.
Right.
But, yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of it that way. I'm starting to remember why I wasn't a fan of this arc. Because the Gungans, there's Gungans. Which means there's Jar Jar Binks somewhere. And he's going to come up at some point.
Yep.
Yeah. For this arc, and why this is just such a mediocre arc for me, it's just like a very middle ground arc. They continue just to recycle things that we've already seen in Clone Wars. Sharkin is the overconfident bad guy, and he is going to underestimate the little guys, and, you know, he's going to lose at some point.
He's pretty much the Citadel warden, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it's okay to reuse story elements, but you got to find new ways to tell that story. Because, I mean, there's no such thing as an original story. And that's what makes the second half of Clone Wars really freaking good. You could argue that, say, something like, I don't know, like Ryloth. The Ryloth arc is a really good example. It was a 3-part episode, end of season 1. It was a big battle, but they focused on different elements of Ryloth. So you have one episode that's just Mace Windu and Shams and Dula. You have another episode where it's clones and they find a little girl and they have to take care of a little girl and they're like, what do we do? So, like, you know, you could have these big arcs, and, like, even in that, you had overconfident guys that was underestimating the Twi'leks. But it was told in different ways. I mean, you could do it again, say, like, we're not in Umbara yet. Umbara comes later, but there's somebody who underestimates the clones. And the clones are just like, nope. But it's done in a different way, and I'm not going to say much because I don't want to spoil it for Rex. I don't want to spoil it for Rex. I don't want to spoil it for Chris. But, I mean, like, there are different ways to do it, and that's why I think that the second half of Clone Wars does really well, but I don't think we're quite there yet. We're still... this feels almost like it's a season 3 episode. Hmm. You know, like, we're still stuck in those, like, 3-part episodes. It's like the Citadel and the Night Sisters and stuff like that. It's definitely not as good as Citadel and Night Sisters.
Like I said last time, I just got the feeling that they were like, let's go for a solid, predictable, I guess, war story, you know, where it's like a lot of action, and that's why it's just full of tropes, you know, but this is a safe entry into season 4.
And, you know, I think being an underwater world and changing up those fighting dynamics does help it a lot. If this was above ground, it would be so boring.
It would be like any other fighting episode, but they...
Yeah.
And you know,
for
the fanboys, there was Ackbar's in it, you know, so it's like, oh, it's the arc, that arc introduced Ackbar or whatever.
And, you know, I feel like they could really do, like, what they're really trying to showcase here is their technology. Like, look, we can animate water worlds.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fine. I kind of wish they would have opened the season with something else, but you're right, it's a very...
If from what you've said about season 4, there's a lot of more overarching stuff going on here, and...
There's the whole middle...
Right, like, so they're easing it into it. They're not starting out with stuff that you have to follow more than 3 episodes. It's a self-contained... Sort of little thing. You follow it for 3 episodes and you've seen, you know, a little battle, you know. But it's not something that's gonna resonate over the rest of the season. So it's just like a little opener to the season, you know, like a little opening volley.
Yeah. So, which isn't a bad thing. It's not like a big criticism. It's just like you said, it's a very safe opening.
Yeah.
So but that's all I really have for Act 1.
Ready for Act 2, then, I guess?
Ready for Act 2. Alright. The Jedi are trying to get to the surface to see if there is a Republic cruiser or if Padme's ship is still there or not. The same time, I'm going, what are you going to do if it's not there? You're just going to be sitting on the top of the water, like sitting ducks. Like, why are you doing this? But Anakin's clearly not thinking this way. He's more concerned about flirting with his wife, being all like, I bet I can swim faster than you, and that's hot, right? And Padme is like, you're from a desert planet. You're from a water planet. What are you talking about? There are a ton of enemies between them and the surface, so Kit Fisto, being the awesome cool guy he is, goes off to be amazing and starts a diversion. He spots some clones as prisoners and signals them to be ready. He jumps the Corran guards and force pushes down a water scooter to the waiting Jedi below. Ahsoka grabs it and is in charge of taking care of the Prince and Senator Tills and taking them to the surface. Kit Fisto frees the clones and sends down a second water scooter. Anakin, Padme, and Akbar hop on this one and speed up after Ahsoka. Sharkin continues to be a dick to the Corran leader and gets informed that the Jedi are heading to the surface. He predicted this and wants them to get up there just to continue being a dick. Just as the Jedi spot Padme's ship, Sharkin springs his trap. They already filled it with explosives, which answers my question from last week of why the Separatist ship and the Republic cruiser weren't fighting in the sky. They must have already lost because there's no cruiser and Padme's ship fucking explodes. Now debris is crashing all around the Jedi, and they have to dodge massive pieces of ship sinking around them. They have no choice but to escape again. They grab the massively heavy debris and sink down to the sea floor. They have no choice but to split up as the best chances to help the Prince survive. Ahsoka, Kit Fisto, and the clones will go with the Prince and lay low while Anakin and Padme take the Senators and Akbar. On Naboo, Yoda is chatting with the Gungans and tells them that Padme is in trouble. Gungan leader Boss Leone isn't sure about helping, but it takes one Jar Jar Binks to be like, Brosa! Padme's help us a lot! We gotta help Sura! And that's all it takes, so Jar Jar, go Jar Jar, or something or other. Back on Mon Cala, Kit Fisto, Ahsoka, and Prince Charlie see the Corran leading away the Mon Calamari prisoners to internment camp, and the Prince is pissed. Corran leader Nor Sarai was good friends with his dead dad, the king. Even with a civil war, Charlie can't believe that Rai would do such a thing. Baby Guppy is mad. And the Jedi are like, it's Count Dooku, man. He needs people to run his fashion sweatshop so he can make bank and go see South Pacific on the weekends. Pretty soon, Mon Calamari and the Corrans will all be his slaves. And the Guppy is sad. Guppy wants to fight, but Ahsoka is like, dude, look, as long as you're alive, your people will have hope. You're clearly not a warrior, and that's okay. There are plenty of leaders who are fighters, and they inspire greatness. I met this one lady, Duchess Satine of Mandalore, who's like a freaking pacifist, and she leads an entire star system. So sit down, shut up, and learn some patience. Anakin, Padme, and Senator Tills and Akbar spot a tower that sends out and receives messages. They decide to go knock it out so the enemy can't see it if their reinforcements are coming. If they even come at all. Anakin uses the Force to take out some of the support beams of the tower. The weight of the building crumbles it and the tower falls. They swim their asses out of there as fast as they can. Sharkin isn't stupid. He realizes an attack must be coming. He readies himself for the worst, while Corran Nor Sarai is like, "Jeezy crazy, I hope you get shot with a harpoon." Sharkin takes some guards to go look for the Prince. Team Mills and Akbar Padme are fighting, and Padme says the dumb line of, "At least we're taking attention away from the Prince." This is a story arc where if someone says something stupid, the exact opposite will happen. Happened last week.
Like, at the exact second they say it, too.
I know. It's like last week, Charlie was all like, the Corran won't attack. Literally the next line, it was the Corran going, attack! And I'm just like, just stop saying stupid things, people. The exact opposite thing will happen. Prince Charlie is an idiot. He grabs a conch shell and starts bellowing it to rally his people. He's actually giving away his position. Kit Fisto and Ahsoka are like, "Jeezy crazy, you fucking youth and your stupid youth ways." And Ahsoka is like, "Get your ass back in here right now." And the droid guards start firing at them and pinning down Fisto and Ahsoka. But at least the Mon Calamari people are like, "Hey, the Prince is alive, yay." What'd you think of Act 2?
Well, you didn't hit the... I was wondering if in this act you would make a Titanic joke.
Oh!
But there, no Titanic joke. That's okay. What near I like... I only have one
wherever
note.
Wherever you are. Okay, I'm done.
I only have one note for this part. And I think it's really neat. Like, say you're having a battle out in space or on a planet and stuff. And things are falling at you. You can just sort of see, you know, forever. But when you're in the water, you can only see so far. So sometimes, like in well-lit areas, you can see a big battle going on. But, like, it's dark at nighttime and stuff. And when the Republic ship gets blown up and starts falling into the water, and when Anakin takes out the tower, it's very claustrophobic when you're underwater. You know, you just have pieces, big chunks of things coming out of nowhere and then disappearing again into the depths and just sort of coming in and out. So it's just really kind of disquiet. When Anakin takes that thing down around him, you know, there's just sort of pieces just sort of coming out of nowhere. And, you know, he's a Jedi, so he's avoiding it. But it's pretty neat. It's a new sort of, you know, it's a new sort of thing that they had to figure out. And it was a neat element to that whole section of this whole section of the show.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, it's your pretty standard in the middle of a battle part, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're just sort of, I forgot this was a three part, and I was like, all right, we're just about to wrap up here.
Wrong. I have a note that all it says is fucking Gungans. Fucking Gungans. Because they were all like, we're not going to help. And Jar Jar was like, we should help. And they're like, yeah, we should. Okay.
Well, I think the way, actually, even though it was in stupid Jar Jar-ese, which all the other Gungans sort of talk, you know, rationally, but Jar Jar's got his weird, like, baby talk sort of stuff. But he made a good point. He was just like, hey, look, they've helped us out a bunch of times. We should help them out. And he's just like, yep, you're right.
Yeah.
But they had to do it. They had to do it in Jar Jar style. So it was just like, this is a helping, and we subversing, and she's a person. And yeah, so it's mildly stupid, but it's not juggling Jar Jar. You know what I mean? It's
Hey, we concluded, and so did our listeners, that juggling Jar Jar was a good episode.
Did we conclude that?
No, but even the listeners did, and we proved that Chris was wrong.
Whatever. I'm not going to be worn down on juggling Jar Jar, I'm sorry.
No.
Although I'm surprised they didn't make a juggling Jar Jar toy.
Actually, Mark Hamill tweeted earlier that the most bizarre Star Wars toy he's ever seen was the candy tong Jar Jar.
Yeah, I have that here.
It came from Mark Hamill himself.
I have one of those here. It's pretty disturbing.
Someone posted up a bunch of Star Wars toys that never got made. And one was an inflatable emperor's chair.
I would sit in that all the time. If I had that, I'd be sitting in it right now.
Imagine, like, a room full of those, and, like, your guests are all just sitting there, and you're all, like,
I can imagine that. I mean, when I went to, it was Star Wars Celebration, I got pictures of the hair metal hero and I sitting in the in their recreation of the emperor's chair. And so, yeah, I would take one of those.
Yeah. I have some notes. Not a lot. You know, Kit Fisto got me thinking. So remember the episode Hunt for Zero? And it had Quinlan Vos. It was the episode with, like, Obi-Wan and Cad Bane from last season.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, we were having a bit of a problem with Quinlan Vos being kind of like a dude bro. And that kind of, like, what's up, dude? Or, like, whatever. I think if they would have made him less bro and more like Kit Fisto, he would have read better.
Yes.
Because he pretty much, Quinlan Vos and Kit Fisto are very similar characters. Like, Kit Fisto is cool. He has that Jamaican surfer guy kind of attitude going on. And he's, like, enjoying the fight and stuff. And he's, like, cheery and positive. Quinlan Vos was all that, only he was more bro. So if they would have made him, like, less of a tool and more of, like, a cool guy and, like, more like Kit Fisto, I think Quinlan would have, like, read a lot better.
Yeah, his character seemed too Earth-like. You know what I mean? He seemed
He seemed
too surfer or skateboarder sort of dude. You know?
Yeah, he was very like our world colloquial.
Yes, he would. You could see him in another cartoon. You know, they could port that character over to another cartoon that took place right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
He could be in the X-Men or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. We talked about this last episode, but I just wanted to touch on it again because this is my actual note for it. Them constantly changing water pressures should be killing them.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Jedi, you can hold your breath and do all sorts of things, but can you control your blood vessel, you know, the blood in your blood vessels from, you know, having the oxygen separate out into bubbles when the air pressure changes rapidly, or having your eyeballs pop out and stuff, you know, getting brain aneurysms and stuff like that? Because, yeah, I mean, it's been going on all through last episode and this one, but this act, it's especially egregious because they're just like, grab onto these pieces of wreckage and ride them down. And it's just like, yeah, you kind of can't do that. I think, wasn't Kit Fisto there doing that too? And he's not even in a pressurized suit or anything.
I think, assuming their
suits are pressurized and...
Yeah, I think with Fisto, like, because he is an aquatic guy, he's probably used to it, but the humans should be dead.
Yeah, I'm only assuming that their suits had some sort of, like, pressurization and, like, you know, real-time adjustment of pressure to just keep you always feeling like you're in regular atmosphere pressure.
Yeah. But...
So, at some point, Anakin got his helmet ripped off in the last one, and it didn't pop out his eyes or squash his head or anything like that. So
yeah,
it's hard.
But Dave Filoni and Pablo Hidalgo both always say like they're not trying to write like scientific stuff. So like when people ask them like super scientific questions, they usually don't answer them because that's not what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And I get that, but at the same time, I'm just watching this going, they should be dead.
Yeah. It's getting ridiculous. Even though they live underwater, I mean, just because we live on land, that doesn't mean you can take somebody and fling them way up in the air real fast, you know, without the pressure changing and totally messing them up, you know?
Yeah, there's a reason people die on Mount Everest, and one of them is lack of oxygen.
So just because you're in the water doesn't mean you can just do anything in the water. You know, there's rules there, too, but...
Yeah. Though I will say, the scene where they grab the debris and sink to the bottom, it's a really cool scene.
It's neat, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No complaints.
Because, like, if they weren't doing that, they would just be sitting there talking. But they're, like, talking as they're, like, diving hardcore fast.
Well, it's the best way to deal with it, too, because everything's falling in relation to you, so nothing's going to fall on you, you know?
Yeah,
they get
camouflage from the enemies, because the enemy just sees a bunch of debris falling, and they don't really spot them, because you actually see at one point, like, Mina and Padme duck down into the debris.
Yeah.
So, it's a really cool shot, and it really adds a lot of action to what would normally just be talking. So that's actually my favorite shot of the episode is that scene, even though they should be dead. So I must say, I just really enjoy watching how Ahsoka continues to grow. We saw it all throughout season 3 and all the lessons she's learned. If this was season 1 Ahsoka, she'd be all like, I agree with the prince. Let's go kick some ass. But this isn't season 1 Ahsoka. And she's finally learned patience. And do you remember Joe Camel from the episode Lightsaber Lost? And we were all like, Ahsoka didn't actually learn patience. Like, he would be proud now.
Yeah, no, it just took a little time to sink in.
Yeah, like, she's now teaching patience. And Joe Camel from Lightsaber Lost would be like, super proud. He'd be like, yes, finally, you did it.
He would just, if he was in this episode, he'd just be doggy paddling around slowly. Yeah.
That'd be really cute. Like, everyone's fighting around it, and he takes 3 episodes to finally dog paddle up to, like, Sharkin, and then just, like, stab him in the back.
He's got his water wings on and stuff, yeah.
You know, I was thinking about that, about Yoda and water wings, though, but it was Yoda. And, like, Yoda just kind of floating around, just like, yes! Tiny, tiny little water wings. Like, once you put on babies. Not even, like, toddlers, but, like, baby water wings. Yay!
Yoda has little bladders under his arms that he just inflates like water wings.
Phew! Yes! That'd be great. God. Charlie, though. Charlie just continues to be annoying. If he hadn't blown that conch shell and gave away their position, they would still have Kit Fisto. Because, like, in the next... I'm going to spoil the next act for you, but I've assumed
you
watched the episode. Kit Fisto gets captured because of this child. And if he hadn't done that, Kit Fisto would be with Ahsoka in the Prince at the end of the episode to help them. But now they're stranded because this kid's an idiot, and he was all just like, I'm a real prince! And he was just like, hi, people! Believe it! And they're all like, hey, our prince is alive! And the enemy was like, hey, there they are! Shoot him!
Well, I have a feeling that Kit Fisto is just going to end up right where he needs to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, but still, I was just like, child, put your conch shell away! Did you not? Oh my god.
He hasn't messed up until this point. That's pretty good, usually, for the way they write these characters. Usually they start messing up right away, so
though
he's
I
doing
just
okay.
I could see Ahsoka being like, oh, this is what Joe Camel felt like
He gets points for style and spirit.
Like, Ahsoka would be like, this is what Joe Camel felt like when I didn't have patience. I get it now. This is what Obi-Wan's always talking about when it comes to Anakin. I feel it now. I understand, Obi-Wan. I'm ready to be a Jedi Knight. I get it. Child, get back in here. Child. I'm just waiting for Ahsoka to drop a line of like, oh, this is why I don't babysit. But that's all I really have for Act 2.
I'm ready to wrap the story up, but wrap this episode up.
Yeah. All right, so Act 3.
Act 3.
Up in space, a Republic cruiser shows up on Mon Cala. Jar Jar Binks leads the attack, and the Gungans arrive to the party. They leap into the ocean and descend upon the city. Ahsoka and Fisto try their best to defend the prince. I wrote, attack the prince. I wrote, attack the prince, but I mean defend the prince. They got fed up, and they just shank the prince, and they're like, we're done.
The end.
The end. Here's his head, Dooku. Have the planet. No. Ahsoka and Fisto try their best to defend the prince. Luckily, the Gungans show up to the fight. The prince is inspired, and he shouts, attack! And Fisto and Ahsoka actually exchange a look that says, Jesus effing Christ, this child. And they follow him. Hashtag, done with this kid. The Gungans clear a path through the electric jellyfish to free Team Anna Padme Ackbar from being surrounded. Jar Jar is all like, Annie, you remember me! We are pod race together! And Anakin's just like, oh, when I become Vader, you're the first thing I kill. I mean, hey, buddy! Glad to see you! And they start taking back the city. Now it's time for everyone's favorite movie, how Prince Lee Char got his groove back. The prince is on a
tear.
Did he
even have it in the first place?
How Prince Lee Char discovered what mojo is. How Prince Lee Char balled up and became a man. I don't know, we could put in a slew of titles here. How Lee Char went from guppy to beast, I don't know.
Charlie's balls dropped.
The prince is on a tear, blasting out droids and kicking some ass when the Jedi aren't guarding his back because he's a wild child fish and he's on a tear to save his people. He's a wild child. And Quarren Norso Rai is like, shark friend, help us! We're being overrun! But Sharkin is like, screw you, I'm gonna go find the prince. He must be where the prisoners are. Bye, boy! And Sharkin goes for the prince, and Norso Rai is like, God, I freaking hate you. His squid droids arrive to the prince's location and start a whirlpool. Sharkin dives out of it and tackles the prince. Ahsoka
is it
does
a whirlpool? Or
I guess
is it
so.
A Sharknado?
Damn it!
That's the other one I was waiting for, and you didn't get there. I was waiting for it.
Oh my god, you're so good with jokes.
As you've been reading this, I've just been sitting here just like, wait, come on. Just wait for it. Wait for it.
No, but there's only one shark. I will say I've never seen Sharknado, so...
You don't need to. You just have to know Sharknado.
I know. I'm so mad.
There was a shark and things spinning.
I'm so mad at myself. Your jokes are so much better than mine this week.
You must improve your jokes.
next week.
This is why I'm the Padawan of jokes. You know, I'm going to try so hard next week now, and I'm just going to fail.
I don't try
They're
too
all
hard.
Just gonna fail. They're going to be terrible. I'm going to be making, like, the worst puns and stuff.
Excellent.
I'm
going
to be like, and it's Saturday. And Saturday night, we in the fight. Can't believe it just right. Hey. Oh,
turn
10.
That class
I'm
up to 11.
Oh, man. I'm mad at you now. Not really. I'm mad at myself. Oh, his squid droids arrive to the principal location and start a Sharknado.
Good one.
You're going to need a long song for this act. Sharkin dives out of it and tackles the prince. Ahsoka does her best to defend him, but droids distract her. Sharkin grabs the prince again, but Kit Fisto is there. And Fisto and Sharkin duke it out. Ahsoka escapes with the prince, but Fisto gets surrounded. Over in the city, more squid droids are causing more squidnados, I guess, because there's no sharks there. Squidnados.
That's a sequel right there.
Squidnados. But squids are cool. Well, sharks are cool, too. I like sharks. Sharks are awesome. Padme and Jar Jar get swept up in it. Ackbar and Anakin have one chance to stop it. Ackbar swims Anakin up to the squid droid, and Anakin cuts off its leg. The squid droid careens into a building and explodes, ending the squidnado. As the dust clears, Padme and Anakin are surrounded. Fisto is captured. Jar Jar is hugging Senator Tills in fear. It's not a good day for the heroes. Lee Char and Ahsoka are the only ones that are free. Charlie is a mad little guppy, and Ahsoka is like, "Look, I know you're scared, but we can't be rash. Let's wait until next week and hit back at them." And they swim off to hide until next week.
And that shot was the only thing I remembered from this arc. Like, when I was like, at this point in it, I was like, oh yes, I've seen this one. It was when I realized, okay, it's not ending now. I realized it wasn't ending when Sharkin just sort of flung Kit Fisto through the water to, you know, take him away. And I was like, oh, okay, there's another episode to this. And then that last shot of them just sort of going into the water horizon, I was like, I remember this.
I like how done Fisto looks. Like, he's just being dragged through the water, and he's just like, oh, God, Jesus Christ. He just looks so just like, oh, I'm going to capture it.
I hate this stupid water world.
Stupid sharks. This is why I eat shark fillets. Ugh.
I got to check the name just to make sure it isn't, but I'm pretty sure it isn't. But wouldn't it have been cool if Prince Forhedia or Charlie ended up being the Mon Calamari general in The Force Awakens?
Ooh, I don't think he is, but that
no,
would be
No, I don't think it's the same name. But wouldn't that have been cool? That would have been, I think that would have been a nice little Easter egg.
Yeah, I don't think he is, though, because I feel like people...
Somebody would have figured that out already.
Yeah.
The guys from Star Wars in character, if nobody on the internet figured it out, the guys from Star Wars in character who go over every character, you know, from the smaller characters, they would have figured it out, like, Bing. But that I just would have thought that would have been cool. I thought the use of Jar Jar in this was okay. It was acceptable.
You know, I just added that to the bottom of my notes. Is this a good Jar Jar episode?
Yeah, I mean, Jar Jar isn't like, it's like, oh, Jar Jar's awesome in this, but he's put to good use without being overly annoying. He's a little annoying, but it's just little throwaway gags like him doing the, you know, slapstick hugging up on another character sort of thing. But otherwise, it's not as much as like, here comes Jar Jar bungling through this, as much as it's here come the Gungan cavalry to just start kicking everybody's ass, sort of like Chewie in Wookiee Hunt.
You know, because we've seen like good Gungans before. Like, I'm kind of tough on the Gungans. Jar Jar lends that to be open to be tough on Gungans. But do you remember in the Blue Waffle Virus episodes, like Peppy, like the girl?
Yeah, Peppy was great.
She was great. Yeah, there are good Gungans, but I think, like, Jar Jar gives the race as a whole a terrible name.
Yeah, he's a good Gungan. He's just an annoying-as-hell Gungan.
Yeah, I mean, even his people don't like him.
But nice sound in this one, I thought. Again, but I think they definitely didn't take full sonic advantage of being underwater, but they took enough of it to make it really interesting and new. My big note for this, my only other note is, Ahsoka sort of overshadows Anakin. I mean, mm-hmm. Anakin, like, takes down that tower and stuff, but Anakin's just sort of doing the grunt work, whereas Ahsoka's getting the action that has all the character development and, you know, interacting with other characters and stuff and being, you know, a force of guidance and stuff, whereas Anakin's just sort of like, I'm gonna go over here and do this, you know?
You know, but I think that is the best use of their characters. I don't want to say that, like, Ahsoka's more motherly because she's so young, but she's a lot softer than Anakin. Because in last episode, you know, Anakin
Think the writers are just realizing that it's like, yeah, she's actually a way more interesting character because we know where Anakin's going, and they're finally, like, they're finally, you know, they've been doing it, but now I think they're very comfortable with having the focus on Ahsoka, and nobody's going to be like, hey, I want to see Anakin. He's the, you know, he's from the movies, you know?
Yeah, but they've also...
At this point, we've gotten beyond that.
But they also established, like, last episode that, like, Anakin's been really short with the prince. Like, he kept looking at the prince going, yeah, you need to make a choice. And, like, Ahsoka's definitely the one that's more like, let's think about this. Let's chill and stuff like that. But I also think, like, you know, Anakin, I think Ahsoka would have had a lot more trouble bringing down a fucking building. Anakin's the chosen one. He's the one that could be like, yes, building down. But I do agree. Like, because, you know, I have an Ahsoka note too, so we might as well just talk about it. It's nice to get a little bit of, like, more of Ahsoka at the end. Like, you know, this is a very fight-heavy episode, but she tells Charlie that she used to be scared all the time and act out of fear. And I could definitely see that if this took place in season one or two, like, you know, Ahsoka would have been trying to overcompensate for everything. But she's grown up now, and she knows that sometimes sitting back and retreating and regrouping and thinking things through is the best course of action. I think she's becoming more like an Obi-Wan character more.
Yes. Well, I think maybe that, you know, that makes her more a normal Jedi. Where, you know, I mean, in contrast to Anakin, though, you know what I mean? Anakin is very off the beaten path. So she appears to be, like, more, but, you know. But then again, when you look at the normal Jedis, they seem to be broken up into the Obi-Wan types who are, I don't know if nurturing the words, but they're more into the
letting people finding their own path.
The human aspect of it and being patient and kind. And then there's the other ones, the wet blanket Windus, who could either be grumpy or whatever, but they're more action, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You rarely see wet blanket Windu trying to help someone along and give a little, like, patient advice. He's more like barking orders, you know.
Or Kit Fisto
is not.
I think the only time we've ever seen Windu try to negotiate was in the Ryloth episodes, and it was between the two Ryloth leaders. He was like, "Look, figure something out. Your people
right,
are dying."
Right. Right. It wasn't. He doesn't try to beguile or use his wiles like Obi-Wan. So, but, you know, I mean, of course she would pick up on Obi-Wan, too, because that's who she's spending her time with, you know, more than others, too. So So yeah, and I like that. I like that we have a character that's like gone from being like, okay, when she first started out in the movie, you were thinking she's just going to be the proxy for kids, you know, kids can watch, and she is, but as she develops, you know, you get to see her become a little bit of Obi-Wan, a little bit of Anakin, and you know how that she becomes a little bit of Obi-Wan, a little bit of Anakin, and then she becomes herself too.
You know, this is exactly why Ahsoka is such an important character to me, because I mean, I've said it before, just if you haven't heard it before on the show, you know, I started watching Clone Wars in college. So as I was growing up and becoming, going from like teenager to adult, I was watching Ahsoka go from like teenager to adult, and growing up well with me. And like, that's why I could relate to her so well, because I got to grow up beside her. Now, of course, we have Rebels and she's a full fledged adult. And that is the exact reason why I love Ahsoka so much, is just that right there, just watching her grow up. It's kind of interesting, though, because she's growing up and changing, and like, she has the ability to change. Unlike Anakin and Obi-Wan and Padme, who can only change so much before episode 3.
Right.
She can only change so much. What I find interesting about Anakin's character is he is starting to become more stunted. But I feel like that frustrates... I don't know
if sort of where he has to go, though. He is, by episode 3, he's kind of stunted, you know?
Yeah, and I find that, I don't know if it's me projecting it onto the character, because sometimes it's frustrating, because I want them to do more with Anakin, but I know that they can't. They can only do so much with Anakin, and I get that. But I'm wondering, like, to me, sometimes Anakin reads as being frustrated with his situation. Does that make sense? I feel like the Citadel did it better, though, because he was talking to Tarkin. He was like, no, we should be doing more of the war, but we can't. But, like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's totally... I think that's a good chunk of his story arc, is he's, like, constantly questioning... He's like, okay, so I'm a Jedi. Is this really where I should be? Because I want to be doing more than I'm doing, you know?
Yeah,
he's reaching the edges of the, you know, he's pushing the envelope and realizing that he's like, I may have to go outside the Jedi envelope, you know, in order to, you know, please myself, or, you know, to be true to myself or whatever.
You know, the fun thing that they do with Ahsoka too, is we get to see the Jedi experience through her eyes. Instead of sitting down and being like, and this is how the Jedi Order works.
Right.
This is a Padawan. The Padawan does this for like 14 years. And blah, blah, blah.
Right. And that's because you have wartime to drive it, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have time to sit back and be like, all right, here's how it would go about if training was just sort of like Hogwarts or something, you know?
You know, like
okay, time for your Jedi training, Ahsoka, and you're going to class and stuff. She's going to battle, you know, that's her class. I'm sure she went to class when she was younger, but if there was no war, you know, it would just be sort of, training and mm-hmm. meditation and study and stuff.
And, like, occasionally going out and helping people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, that's such a smart thing for them to do, to use Ahsoka as a vehicle to be discussing Jedi life in general. So, it's really... I love Ahsoka. I love Ahsoka, Chris. I love her so much. Did you have any other notes for Act 3?
That's all I had.
Okay. I just have a few little notes. Ahsoka was actually probably my biggest note. I mentioned it last episode. I'm just going to see it again. I just really want to see Yoda, like, paddling around in a tiny scuba suit. Super
I have a feel, and you know, getting aside from Dirty Yoda, I just have a feeling that Yoda should be able to swim really well, you know, that's part of his frog-like nature, is if you chuck him in the water, he'd probably go like a little son of a bitch, so I'd love to see that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, little son of a bitch going through the water.
Let that little son of a bitch go. Wee-how! It's hard to catch them Yodas. Them little bitches just fly through the water.
That was his life on Dagobah. He would dodge rednecks in the water.
The Dagobah. You never see him in Empire Strike or Jedi, but there's Dagobah rednecks.
they sometimes borrow the space jeep from the Wookiee Hunt episodes.
Yeah.
Fucking Jar Jar Binks is useless in the water, and he can't hear in the water. He's a water person.
And he has giant ears.
What do you mean he can't hear in the water? Like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I do like the Sharknado fight, though. That's a really cool dynamic to bring to the water fight.
Yeah, and I like how it's not really deadly. It is deadly because sometimes you get conked with a piece of, you know, metal that's getting thrown around. But most of the time, people just sort of get swept away and tossed off to the side, you know? Mm-hmm. It was neat. And my first thought was, wouldn't you want to get to the middle? And they're like, you should get to the center of it. And I'm like, oh, all right, cool. There's some nod to physics in here.
And also, like, it just added an element of suspense because you couldn't see. It was so cloudy. They couldn't see where, like, Sharkin was coming from.
Yeah, just like the stuff falling. It's just like all of a sudden out of nowhere would come either a chunk of something or a person or Sharkin, or you didn't know what was coming next.
Yeah, so like
Speedo.
But what a great Easter egg would that be if they just Noah's ship
they put a sneaker in one of the in I think episode 2. So
a sneaker?
Yeah, in like the asteroid scene, I believe. There was something. Maybe I'm thinking Empire Strikes Back, but there were, I think in both of those asteroid scenes, there were a couple asteroids that were just household objects thrown in. Somebody will tell us underneath our feedback on Facebook.
If you know the answer, leave us a comment. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I have, I think something that these three episodes do really well is they show how the Separatists get into a planet and then just take over, and how that affects the people. Because, like, last week, Sharkin was there just to be a senator for the Separatists, and I'm pretty sure he filled the Quarren with all these ideas.
They're there to take any little piece of dissent and just, like, into it. Yeah.
And throw, like, fuel on that fire.
Yep.
And he was probably like, yeah, you guys should totally rule Mon Cala. And very quickly, what I like throughout these two episodes so far is we see Nosur Rai just being like, I've made a bad mistake. And he's kind of like in over his head. Like, he really does want to, like, rule, like, the planet.
Yeah, but he's gone off the deep end, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he's just like, oh my god, I've literally, like, sharp bitten off too much than I can chew. Like, oh my god. So, I mean, I think earlier in the episode, the best, like, part of it was, like, to really showcase this, when he was talking to Count Dooku, and he's like, what are you going to do with all the people? And he's like, put them in internment camps. And he's like, but there are women and children. And Dooku was like, they're going too. And Nosur Rai was just like, okay. That's not what we do here, but okay. It's really cool to see, like, how fast these promises are being broken. And Sharkin and Dooku are, like, really, truly the ones that are taking over this planet and not the Quarren. So it's kind of cool to show how subtly that's happening, because they're not, like, saying it outright, but you can tell Nosur Rai is just, like, little things. Like, Sharkin shoves him out of the way to talk to people. And it's just, like, little things like that that are showing, like, okay, the Quarren are going to, like, stab you in the back at some point.
Yeah, they're going to get pissed at some point. Or they're just going to they're not going to step in when somebody else is mauling you.
Yeah, so I just, like, that's a really good, subtle way of showing, instead of, like, sitting down and be like, and then the Separatists do this, and they rule this. So that's actually something that these episodes do really good. They're showing us a lot of, like, politics and war things without actually.
That's the thing is, when you get into that, if it's all battle like this one was, it's all show and no tell, you know.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like it. It's very Star Wars.
But that's all I had for this episode. Do you have anything else?
I'm ready to score this up. This is an easy score for me this week.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
It's exactly, I like this exact, there's, nothing I like or don't like any more than I did on the last one, so I'm giving this one an 8 also.
Yeah. For me, like last week, this episode is just okay. It's not great, it's not terrible. Jar Jar very tinily brings down just a touch for me, but I do like seeing how the Separatists invade planets and breaking promises and just to take over a planet. Charlie is being really annoying still, and he's very little help overall, but it's just really cool to see Kit Fisto in action, and we're getting great Ahsoka stuff and seeing her, like, do things. So again, this episode's just okay.
I like Sharkin as a bad guy. Like,
I do like Sharkin.
I'm ready to see him get his, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's doing really cool too. And again, we're saying he's smart. Like, he pre-planned blowing up Padme's ship. So
Sharkin and Grievous would make a great team.
Yeah.
Buddy cops or buddy bank robbers or something.
Yeah.
They would fight like cats and dogs. It would be great. They would probably actually physically, like, battle each other just in arguments. It would be awesome.
Yeah, so last week I gave the episode a 7 out of 10. I'm docking it a 0.05 of a point for Jar Jar and Charlie.
That's so not bad. That's a mild docking.
You know, you talked me up. It was 6.85. Now it's a 6.95. You did talk me up. So it's
a good thing you got that fine-tuned dial.
I know. So it's instead of a 6.85, it's 6.95 out of 10. So, well, as always, we'd love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. We especially like it on the iTunes, because if you rate and review our show on there, it helps people find the show. So if you like what we do here, drop us a line and give us a review and let us know how you think. Or how much you hate us. It doesn't have to be a positive review. I hope that you like us. I don't know. This week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, The Citadel. Take it away, Chris.
Okay, the first one we got Brian Weber, and I have to say, first off, this is basically just a caption for a photograph, and it's the classic photograph from Episode 4 from the original Star Wars on the deck of the
Death Star?
Death Star. And it's either just when they're discussing with Princess Leia that they might head towards her home planet and blow it up. So it's Darth Vader standing behind Princess Leia as she looks disgustedly up at Farkin, and he glowers down using his glower power to wither her. And his caption is, "Governor Farton, I thought I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board."
Get I just it, like Farton? It's fart in
farts. Governor in Farton. Like in Farton. Farts. So yes, that's what we encourage here. Those are the fruits that we bear at J Guys and Jedi. Alright, this next one comes from Gene Hendricks, and he says it seems like maybe we've pissed off Gene Hendricks a little bit. It's a little terse.
You're saying oognots, not ugnots. Yes.
So Gene Hendricks says, number one, it's Ugnaught, not Oognaught. Number two, carbon freezing a living being is incredibly dangerous in facilities not designed for it, which is why Vader tested the process on Solo. Good point. And then I answered, I remember this answer, I prefer Oognaught. And then Gene Hendricks, and once again, a photo cue, it's a big pair of Uggs. Presenting the newest fashion craze, Oogs, with a little winky face. And Hope says, meh, potato, potato. And then Gene says, human, human. That's a Star Trek reference, by the way, so you won't get that, Hope.
And then I became a dick.
And then Hope got technical and said, to get more technical, Dave Filoni said in an interview... that he likes when fans call creatures different names. Okay? I'm adding the okays. He used the example of a Twi'lek saying people call them Twi'leks, short I sound. Twi'leks, Short I sound. Oh, no. Yeah, people call them Twi'leks and Twi'leks. He uses both because he likes the idea that creatures from different parts of the galaxy will pronounce it differently because of their accents, okay? He said it makes the universe more real, okay, if there was different dialects and accents saying words differently.
And then Gene didn't write back, so I won.
So Gene, obviously, what is wrong with you for not wanting Star Wars to seem like a real world with different accents and dialects? Shame on you.
Gene.
Shame on you, Gene.
Gene, we love you, by the way. Just
why are you
so
trying
you know,
to box
okay?
in Star Wars, Gene? Why are you trying to box it out? Nobody puts our Star Wars in the corner, Gene.
We love you, Gene, okay? God.
Okay.
God.
All right, so Paul C.
Obi-Wan is so stupid.
Who else can I abuse? Is there any Patrick Delmore this week?
I don't think so. I think it's just Paul C. Kelly.
Oh, okay. So Paul C. Kelly says, so when I first started watching Clone Wars, I kind of did not take it seriously as entertainment for adult Star Wars fans, which in time changed for me. Me too. I think that's sort of everybody's natural course. I think that's sort of how the episodes go, you know? It sort of starts out being like, oh, okay, this is going to be for kiddies, and then... Oh, anyway, I should read his letter. Some filler episodes might still fit that, but this is... one where I said I wish something like this was in the prequels. Having still negative prequel feelings, I wished Revenge of the Sith took out some of the awful Anakin Padme dialogue and had a scene of Tarkin scheming his way prior to standing next to Vader at the end.
We all wish there was less Anakin Padme dialogue.
I felt they overkilled on lightsaber battles, as good as they were, and needed more story on non-Jedi characters like the originals had with Wedge. Lando and Han, I agree.
I will say at least Rebels gave us like early like Wedge and stuff.
I think, I don't know, I think they think, maybe I'm wrong, maybe people do really like focus on lightsaber battles more than I do, but I'm like, I'm happy with lightsabers. I'm not like waiting in a Star Wars movie going, when are the lightsabers coming out, you know what I mean? I'd rather have the story.
But then you have, like, really cool moments, like, Rogue One is Jedi light into that final scene when Darth Vader lights up his lightsaber, and you're just like, shit is hitting the fan.
Well, at that point, I realized, oh, shit, there hasn't been a lightsaber in this whole movie up until now, you know? And I didn't even think about it until that point.
Shit was hitting the fan.
Yeah. And so, like, when you have a lightsaber fight breaking out every 10 minutes, you know, it kind of takes the piss out of them a little bit. It takes the edge off them, I think. All right, anyway, on with the letter. I would gladly accept that replacing Obi-Wan riding the Boga Lizard on Utapau with something of that nature.
But then you don't have Grievous. Like, you're chasing him down in a wheelie
car.
I'm never gonna
argue for removal of any Grievous. You're losing me now. Past is past, though. He's letting it go. Let it go, man. I feel a little better knowing that this is canon, though, so at least this can be related. Also, ever wonder if Echo the Clone Trooper had anything to do with Echo Base in Empire?
I don't think so. To be really honest with you, Echo had such little impact on everything.
What if... Well, Rex was still alive. Rex might have...
Yeah, but we don't have a Rex base, though. That'd be cool.
No, I mean, Rex might have been like, let's name it Echo after my buddy Echo.
It's like an airplane term, though. It's like a, you know, to not confuse, like, flight coordinates and stuff like that. They actually, that's why they say, like, Echo, Delta, stuff like that. So it's actually like a flying terminology thing. But finish off Paul's letter.
One more sentence. Tarkin was a complete surprise for me, too. Miss spoilers somehow on Netflix.
Paul, answer, like, drop us a line when this episode come out. Are you watching Clone Wars for the first time? I'd like to know that, because that, it,
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to know if you're watching Clone Wars along with our episodes. That'd be, like, super cool. I would love to know that.
There's a few people, I think, doing that.
So, yeah, just let us know, Paul.
All right, Gene Hendricks is back with, hope you thought Vader and Tarkin were on good terms in Star Wars. That's the complete opposite of my reading of it. I think I'm agreeing with Gene here. Gene, you're getting back.
I'm not sure. I would have to go back and listen to the episode to hear what I said. But like, I think they were on better terms than most, but I don't think they were like hanging out on weekends by the poolside.
I always thought that Vader was the only person on the entire base that Tarkin actually liked. Vader had his stormtrooper officers that he could have a decent conversation with, the guys in black on the Tandit 4, but Tarkin had Vader and underlings. I never sensed any animosity between those two. Interesting. I always sensed, like, a respectful, grudging friendship forged over the... I always sensed that they were... that they liked each other. You know, yes. They knew their dynamic, and they played off each other. Like, they were... when they were sitting in that room and Vader was choking people out and Tarkin was like, cut it out, you know, they were playing good cop, bad cop. They were back in the coffee room going just like, and then I yelled at you and told you to cut it out. You know, well played, you know, I'm sure, you know, that's the dynamic I got off them. That was...
did I say that they weren't on good terms? Did I say that?
I honestly don't remember. I honestly don't remember.
Maybe I like misspoke because I thought they were on better terms than most. Like, they're the closest... Tarkin, I think, is the closest thing Vader has to a friend, even though it's not that great. But I don't think Vader actually has friends other than his droids.
Not even Palpy. Okay, so David Walker says, you may have had wishbone hope, but I had this.
And then he sent us a video of Dog Tanyan, the Three Musketeers, which I do remember Dog Tanyan. I never watched much of it, but I do know what it is.
Never heard of that before in my entire life.
Yeah, it's like a little Three Musketeers dog thing. But, wow, did I really say that? Though I have to say, speaking of Vader and his droids, the new Darth Vader comic is running, right? In the end of the episode of the first issue, they had this little side thing where all Vader wanted to do was, like, sit in his meditation chamber. I took it as all Vader wants to do is take a fucking bath, but people keep interrupting him, so this little... he keeps killing people, and this little droid keeps having to drag bodies out of his room. It's hilarious. It's done in, like, a Calvin and Hobbes style. So, like, Vader just keeps killing people while he's trying to take a bath, and this droid just keeps dragging people out of his room, and it's hilarious.
Oh, I finally picked up Darth... I haven't read it yet, but I picked up Darth Maul number one. Citadel or something number one. It, like, has Luke and Captain... what's her name in it?
Dr. Aphra. I tried Screaming Citadel because I was like, okay, I'm at least going to read this because it's an event. It's a weird fucking event.
I guess there'd been other Screaming Citadel stories, too.
It was a tie-in. Like, it was a crossover between Aphra and Star Wars.
Okay.
There was a
Dark Horse series that had something about a Screaming Citadel in it, too. So,
but, like, the thing about this, if you've been reading the Screaming Citadel arc, let me tell you, for one, the evil Red Queen lady looks like a reject from Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. Oh, number geez. Two... her little guy sidekick, tell me that does not look like Dead Man from DC. He looks like Dead Man. And I was actually reading it, I had a moment where I was like, Dead Man? What are you doing? What comic am I reading?
It sounds like when Scott Gardner and I were just talking about, there was a weird time period in the British Star Wars comics where they had fill-in stories that Alan Moore would write that were, like, you know... weird metaphysics. We were talking actually about the Mortis arc, and he was like, yeah, it sounds like that one, something throws a shape, and it was all very cosmic weirdness, you know. Alan Moore just like, okay, I'll write a Star Wars story, you know.
Yeah, so, but like, Screaming Citadel was weird. Like, Luke got possessed at some point, and he was just like, you're my enemy, and Han and Leia were like, no, and I didn't finish it because I was just like, this is terrible. What is this doing? It was like the Mortis arc. What is the point?
You know what the point is? It's a trip to Brazil.
Yeah,
we're going there right now.
So Chris is a big crybaby piss baby, and he gets an air.
Yeah.
Oh, ugh.
Matt.
I'm gonna hang up on you. But he doesn't like American candy, and so our friend Dario Gonzalez, he gets all fussy, and then he spits up on everything.
Yeah.
And then, but our friend Dario Gonzalez, who is Chris's co-podcaster for Eat and Beat It, is a flight attendant, and he sends us candy from all over the world to review. And this week we have a Lacta Leica Laca bar. It is from Brazil.
L-A-K-A from Brazil. I'm cracking it open and sniffing it. It looks like...
it looks like straight up white chocolate.
Yeah, but it's a little... it smells a little butterscotchy.
It's not quite as sweet as white chocolate. It's a little bit harder. You know how white chocolate is almost feels kind of moist?
Waxy.
It's almost a little harder.
No, this sort of breaks off like fudge, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
it's a little
hard.
It still tastes like white chocolate, but it's not quite as sweet as white chocolate.
There's something else going on in there, like maybe a little buttery flavor.
Yeah.
Or...
I mean, that makes sense. White chocolate is cocoa butter. That's what it's made of.
Mm. It reminds me a lot of the flavor of vanilla Nestle Quick.
Ooh, that's a really good comparison. Mmm. Though, the more you eat it, the sweeter it gets, though.
It's pretty sweet.
I have to stop eating.
It's not as sweet as the Lion bar from last week.
You know,
and I ain't lying!
You know, I don't... I think this is sweeter to me than the Lion bar. Because I think the Lion bar, since it had all the crunchy rice stuff in it, it helped kind of balance out the sweetness.
Yes.
This isn't as bad, so... but it's good. I like it.
I like it. I'm going to eat half of it, and then I'm going to go finish, polish off the Lion bar.
Yeah. Just so you know, listeners, we recorded two episodes tonight.
Yes, it's not. I haven't had it sitting on. There's no way it was. I was like, I'm going to eat half of this because I have to eat some more chocolate later on in the show. And then I just kept taking bites of it and taking bites of it. It was good.
Yeah, Chris did not sit on a candy bar for like a week, I promise. That's all I have. Where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at TrueTrueFreaks.com, a podcast network to end all podcast networks. Actually, we're
one podcast network to rule them all.
That's
one
right.
Podcast network to find them.
And we're back from the old. We've been around since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Next year will be our 10th year in existence. Can you imagine that? And they're just saying that podcast revenue and ad revenue and ad traffic is projected to go up 87% this year.
Why?
Because people are listening to more and more podcasts.
People
finally know what a podcast is. You still have to explain it to some people, but it's becoming part of the vernacular in positive and negative ways, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of eye-rolling, like, I worked with a guy who I know isn't listening, so I'll talk freely. He does not work with us anymore either. But, nice guy. But, you know, he was just like, I did a podcast like 5 years ago with three of my friends. We just used to get around and we'd drink beers and smoke weed and we'd be like, dude, this shit we're talking about is so funny. We ought to do a comedy podcast. And then we did this like comedy podcast where we just shoot the shit and do these gags and stuff, and we did that for like 6 episodes, and then we got bored of it and nobody listened to it. It's just like, yep, that's sort of like the standard. Back in the days of MySpace, it used to be bands, you know. MySpace was like a social network, and then it was every 5 minutes, it's just like you discover that every person that you know and every person they know has a band that they want to tell you about and want you to support. And the same sort of goes with podcasts now. They're a little ubiquitous, and there's a lot of people doing very similar, you know, I want to do a podcast and copy this podcast or whatever. But that's just
It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
And
so it weeds out a lot of if you don't enjoy doing it or have anybody listening or some combination of that. Very few people are going to make it too far, but there's always, you know, a mass of people that are just like, going to be terrible or whatever, or just a joke. But the point is, it's like now you don't have to explain it as much. You know, I saw somebody use podcasts in a line of dialogue in a Saturday Night Live skit that was not a punchline or anything. It was just like a passing, and I'm like, oh, okay. It's in the it's just in the vernacular now, you know.
So, you know, I'm just gonna say right fast. If you're getting into podcasts because you want to make money, you're gonna fail. Because it's incredibly hard to make money on podcasts. You do it because you love it.
There are people who make money on podcasts, but
it's really hard to do.
Yeah, if you're gonna do it, and I hesitate to use the word honestly. But if you do it like, I'm going to make a quality podcast that I'm really into doing, and I have this, you know, artistic need or intellectual need to do, some sort of need to do it, and, you know, I have a concept and stuff, then it becomes kind of hard to make money. There's other people who do these weird podcasts that are all about, like, making money through podcasts, and then you network with everybody else, and you go to seminars and stuff. And you get other people that make their podcast to listen to yours, so then you can all get ad revenue. And those people can make money by being obnoxious for a little while until everybody gets sick of them, and then the bottom will fall out of that. That's like a temporary thing. But if you're looking to like make your living, you know, it's the ones who are doing that. A lot of times you're talking like your Bill Burrs or your Kevin Smith, somebody already has a, you know, they've been on TV or they do comedy specials on HBO and stuff. Those guys make a good living from the podcast, or they augment their living really well, or they do well. But yeah, it's go in it for the art. If you end up making money, God bless you.
We've been doing this for, 9 years, and we're not making money.
No, but, you know.
We're doing it because it's fun, and I want to talk about Star Wars every week.
We pay all the bills that we accrue through listener input, you know, through, like, the Amazon page and stuff like that, and occasionally, like, we'll tweak up a piece of equipment or pay somebody to do something, but yeah, nobody's drawing a paycheck off Two True Freaks.
No. So if you're gonna podcast, do it just because you love it, not because you want to make a buck, because more often than not, when you're starting out, you're gonna be talking into a void. Like, with Hope of All Trades, like, when I was active on Hope of All Trades, I podcasted for 3 years before I got my first review. And I did it just because I loved it, because it was something I wanted to do. So, I mean, like, I feel very blessed that we have so many active listeners that do leave us feedback, because this didn't happen on Hope of All Trades, and this is not a very common thing for me. So I feel super blessed that we have such great listeners that leave us feedback every week, and that are very active and with us every week. And so that's, I mean, I love you guys.
You want a podcast tip, Hope?
What?
I'll give you a podcast tip of how you get more people. Put out a Hope of All Trades every week.
That's true.
That's simply why we have more feedback, is we're here every week. And
also, do what you do with Eat It and Beat It. Put out a podcast about porn.
Yes. Or put something like porn in the title of it. Yes. Naked Lady Podcast. Almost everybody wants to listen to Naked Lady Podcast. Even if it was, sure there's about 8 million podcasts called The Naked Podcast. We podcast naked. Party Naked Podcast. I'll bet you there's a million of those crazy podcasts. Yeah. But anyway, you can also check us out on Two True Freaks. We have a Facebook page. And there's a bunch of the Two True Freaks shows have their own Facebook page. We have the Two True Freaks Cantina. We have a Twitter account that's Two True Freaks, and that's run by Gene, the podcasting machine. Ba-dum-ba-ba-dum-bum. Gene! Oh, you were slow on the uptake this week.
I think it was the lag, because I said it when you said it, so it lagged to you.
We got the timing of it pretty well in general. And that's about all I got after my little podcasting tangent there. Where can they find you? Voo.
I run I run our Twitter account at JakeAsInJedi, so you can come say hi over there. You can also find me at Hope Molinex, and I'm also the news writer for WhatTheFangirl.com. And yeah, so you can come check me out over at WhatTheFangirl.com or on Twitter. So yay! I don't have anything, so I guess we'll pull the plug on this drain of an episode next week. Plug on it. And watch it spiral down like a rubber ducky, and Yoda goes flying down there.
Looks like old Kit Fisto's circling the drain. We'll see how that goes.
So, maybe Sharkin will become a fillet. Something I think to keep in mind, though, for next week. Who killed King of Mon Cala?
Sharkin did.
But we don't know that for sure. It could have been the Quarren who was pushed into it by... Maybe a Quarren was, like, cooking dinner for the king, and Sharkin just shoved the Quarren.
No, Sharkin just... Sharkin stabbed him in the back and was pissed off that he wasn't able to maul him with his mouth like he usually does. Because it would give away... that it was him, so he had to. But I'm sure he did that. I'm sure he did that job himself.
Well, we have to have some kind of mystery about next week.
Okay,
come back next week. Will Anakin actually kill Jar Jar? Let's see.
Not now. You're getting at something.
Who will Prince Charlie and Ahsoka make out? Who knows? Underwater love affair? Who knows?
It could happen. It could happen.
Will Ahsoka get annoyed with Prince Charlie and shove him into a ravine? Who knows?
Here's a question. Has anybody made out in Clone Wars yet?
Yes, because it was in the Malevolence arc, like third or fourth episode.
Yes, you're right.
Padme and Anakin kissed on the train.
On the train. Yep, that's right. On the train when they went in the tunnel. Yep.
And it wasn't a makeout scene, but... Asajj Ventress kissed a clone on the cheek when she shanked him.
That's right. I think those are the only...
I think Anakin and Padme have kissed one other time. Like, he had came home and they were in her apartment and they kissed. I feel like they kissed one other time in her apartment. Because I know Obi-Wan's so, like, sexually stunted. He's not making out with Satine at the time.
Obi-Wan's not gonna make any out with anybody.
He's not kissing Satine, but I do feel like Padme and Anakin have kissed one other time, like, inside her apartment, because I can see it in my head. He, like, brought her takeout or something.
Well, we know it's not going to be Wet Blanket Windu.
Yoda, make out with me!
if you do.
That's too much, no thank you. He's like, Yoda, let me wrap my wet blankets around you, and he's just like, oh, it's so moist!
Maybe you're just Damp Blanket Windu now.
Sweat Blanket Windu?
Damp Blanket.
I like Sweat Blanket. That's just gross.
All right.
We'll leave you on that thought. Bye.
Signing out with Sweat Blanket Windu.
Think about it. Bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at TwoTrueFreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
I got it in the tip of my tongue.
Come on.
Oh, golly, I'm not even... Let me see. Oh, Alexander Dumbass. Oh, Henry Dumbass.